Dave. Good morning, Bill Handel here. Morning crew on a Friday, October 8th. Big stories. We're getting very close to the authorities nailing the reason for the pipeline break. And it is going to be the ship's anchor dragging across the pipeline. And Elon Musk announces Tesla is leaving California, going to Austin, Texas. Oracle said that last year. HP is on it's on its way. Yep, welcome to California. And tonight, the Dodgers and the Giants, game one of the division playoffs. All right, let's do it. And I brought Wayne in here to talk about this because this segment or this this issue, this area is definitely in his wheelhouse. And that has to do with qualified immunity, and this has to do with suing police officers for civil rights violation. A cop beats you senseless or uses excessive force, and you turn around and you go, okay, I'm going to sue the guy because, of course, you know, I mean, it's illegal, it's out of policy, and you end up being tossed out of court. Why?
Well, there is a court-created doctrine. It's not written in the law anywhere. It's certainly not in the Constitution. The court created this doctrine of qualified immunity, and it says that if you want to sue public officials, it's usually police officers, it doesn't have to be, it could be other things. If you want to sue them for violating your constitutional rights, you're going to have to prove two things. You're going to have to prove they violated your constitutional rights, but you're also going to have to prove that they should or could have known that what they did to you is a violation of your rights. Because in a previous court case, the thing they did to you was found to be a violation of constitutional rights.
Crazy. But let's move on. That was the definition. But you would think, especially after George Floyd and what the cops have done and the microscopes that are now being used to look at every single cop excessive force issue or allegation, that you'd see states passing laws that eliminate the concept of qualified immunity. And and dozens of states, in fact, have these laws on the books that never made it.
They tried.
They tried desperately, and it never got passed. They don't even get the floor votes. They die in committee. It's over. It's done. And wait a second. Look what Chauvin did to George Floyd. Look at what cops do. Now, granted, not all the time or rarely do they do that, but we want to get these rogue cops. No, thank you. It's done. Why?
Well, I know why.
Okay, and I'm asking you.
Oh, well, police unions.
Exactly.
And similarly affiliated.
You bet.
And like-minded people and organizations lobby hard.
Right. And the argument is if cops are going to be able to be sued for any one of these allegations and they prevail, we'll even argue that they're going to go broke defending themselves, which is a crock because the police unions always defend them. But if they get nailed, they're going to lose their houses. Their kids are not going to be able to eat. They're going to be on street corners asking for money, you know, just crazy stuff. And it works because you can't find, you really can't fight police unions, because number one, the power they have, and it's enormous. And two, you know, these are cops, right? They protect us. They are responders. They are there when we're in trouble.
Here's the thing.
And you don't fight that.
You know, there seems to be, it's either we want to keep qualified immunity the way it is,
yep,
or we want to completely get rid of it. And both sides are wrong. Because the correct approach is simply to go back to qualified immunity version one. Qualified immunity version one was this. Cop does something. You go to court. Was it a violation of my rights? Yes. Could that cop have known that because there's a previous case? No. He gets a pass. But from now on, what you did, any other cop who does it, they will be sued. At some point, the Supreme Court said, you don't have to do both steps. You can do step two first. Are there any previous cases that cover the exact same thing that this police officer did? There aren't. We're done here. Wait a minute. Are you going to find whether what he did is a violation? No, I don't have to find it. So if you have to set precedent and you never set precedent, That's why it's so hard to sue police officers. I don't have a problem with the first cop who does something new
getting a pass
because I don't think you can have
cops. But how about if you know?
I don't think you can have cops out there going,
hang on a minute.
I have no way of knowing if my behavior is violating somebody's rights.
Fair enough. Let me give you a 2017 case in Texas. All right. And it's a good one. The police respond to a suicidal man who had already doused himself with alcohol, and they show up. And one of the cops brings out a taser, and the other cop says, if we tase him, he's going to light on fire. You can't do it. So what does the cop with the taser do? Fires the taser anyway. The guy becomes a tiki torch. He blows up in flames. Did they take marshmallows on a stick and put it over him? They did not. They took him to the hospital where he died. Family sued, court tossed it. Qualified immunity. Now, to argue that a guy in that's doused with gasoline, you can't tase. Mm-hmm. And if you do, tell me that's not foreseeable, even if, I mean, it's so obvious. How does he get a pass?
Because of this focus on whether or not the exact situation you have in front of you happened before and was found to be a violation of rights. It requires that somebody else already got tagged for doing what you did. And the degree of difference that you need for a court to say that previous case is different than this case can be as simple as, and I'm not trying to be funny, it is literally cutting it this fine. The previous case, a guy was beaten 57 times over the head with a billy club. The current case is a guy was beaten over the head 32 times with a flashlight. It's not the same.
That's crazy. It's crazy. All right, Wayne, thank you, as always. Coming up, I want to share a restaurant experience that I had. For some reason, you know, restaurants are this week. I'm talking a lot about them. And it has to do with the menu or not having a menu. And I'm sure you've gone through this or certainly will go through this. About that, I was talking to Neil down the hall in his office, and the time got away. Okay, back we go. Handle Morning Crew, a Friday, October 8th, and you're going to be hearing a lot of these stories throughout the day here on KFI. Tonight, game one of the playoffs, Dodgers against the San Francisco Giants. Game starts at 6:30 tonight, and Tesla is moving to Texas, as well as Hewlett-Packard and Oracle and just so many different companies. And welcome to California. I want to share a story with you. The other night, I went to P.F. Chang's. I mean, I'm really going restaurant crazy because, of course, during the pandemic, that didn't happen. So I go to P.F. Chang's, and I ask for a menu. They go, no, we don't have a menu. You have to, it's only the QR code is the only way you're going to get a menu. And maybe, was it P.F. Chang's where it happened, or another restaurant? I think it was P.F. Chang's. Anyway, so here I was trying to read a menu, and they go, nope, no menu, QR code, and you'll have it on your phone. And I'm thinking two things why I hate that, and I want a menu. Give me a disposable paper menu, which I think restaurants ought to do. And number one is you can't read the damn menu on your phone. And more restaurants are going in that direction. You're reading a menu on your phone, and you have to, you know, zoom out and expand it, and I can't read it. I hate that. And then the other thing is, guess what? You get the QR code, your camera clicks on, all of a sudden the menu comes up. It's on a browser, which means now the hackers or the company itself, the restaurant chain, has the ability to go into your system. It has the ability to go into your information, into your computer, because there's the avenue you've given them. And all of a sudden, what happens? Well, they know who you are. They can track which restaurants you go to. They can track how often you go to restaurants. Certainly, they can send you cookies. And now there are devices or there are ways of saying no. And the reputable people, reputable restaurants, let you say no cookies. No, you're only using this one time. But, you know, not everybody does that. And we're looking at a whole new way of dealing with technology, and what we used to do, it just doesn't happen anymore. How can you go to a restaurant and not have a menu in your hands? Because you're just looking down and, you know, your finger, you're scrolling, you're scrolling down a phone, your smartphone. How the hell do you do that? Welcome to the new world. Man, I just hate it. I just hate it. And do I walk out the door? I don't know. You know, sweet and sour shrimp at P.F. Chang's. It's pretty serious stuff. It's kind of hard to say no to that, frankly, but not thrilled at all. All right, coming up, Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra. And we've got a lot of topics to go through, so we'll see how many we actually have, more so than usual. And one of them is a personal story with me, so I don't have to worry about ever getting fat again. Well, yeah, sort of, but there's a story there.
I'm starving.
Food. Glorious food.
Do you know how to cook, or do you just know how to put trash in the oven and then put it on a plate?
It's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra on The Bill Handel Show.
Good morning, Bill Handel and the morning crew. It is a Friday, October the 8th, and Friday at 9:30 means we do a Foodie Friday segment with Neil Saavedra, our Fork reporter. Yep. His social handle is not handle. It's at Fork Reporter, and the show is tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m., The Fork Report.
Love it.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
Actually, it is a good show.
But it's only for people that eat and drink.
Yeah, I know. So it's a very...
So if you don't eat or drink,
don't
buzz
listen.
Off, pal. Yeah,
very limited audience, Neil. People who are... I guess that's not true. People who are fasting in a political statement should not listen.
Yeah. They're the worst.
They are the worst. All right. Let's do it. Diet soda, which I don't drink anymore... Only because I've lost my taste for it. It's really strange. After the surgery.
You lost taste? What about your smell?
That's different. No, I'm fine. I just lost the taste for diet soda.
Matter of fact,
what am I eating right now? I have Flautas from Costco.
Can I tell you? Yeah, you have changed the smell of the building. Your absence, it was nice. It was bright. It was fresh.
Now it smells like Flautas.
Now it smells, yeah, like... Bad yeah. frozen
no,
food.
I understand.
Heated.
The point I'm making is my taste has stayed the same. It's just diet soda. My
what
diet
bothers
Cokes,
you about
the aftertaste, the bitterness.
That's the same reason we didn't want you here.
Yeah, exactly. Well put. But the point is, and I was told over and over again, it actually diet soda actually makes you put pounds on.
Well, this has been a study that's been going back and forth for some time. It doesn't, it absolutely does what you said, but the sucralose in it can do that. However, it's not with everybody. Like a fit guy, it happens more with women and more with obese people. So if you're heavy or if you're a woman biologically, then... The sucralose has a different reaction. And what it does is it triggers those kind of reward sensors that we hear so much with food. Like, I mean, it's obvious with me, food is my go-to. That's my, you know.
I'm, you know what? I'm eating my Flauta only because it's Foodie Friday and I figure I get a pass.
No, you would eat them no matter. You could have a senator across from you, a president of these United States, and you'd be eating that crap.
Yeah, but the difference is I'd offer them a bite.
You don't have to offer me.
That's correct.
I would get over there and I'd eat it.
But let me ask you a question. I was obese, obviously. We know that. And when we talk about a fit guy drinking or fit woman drinking Diet Coke, a dozen of them a day, 15 a day, which you know I was putting away.
Well, it's not only that. That we've heard the rules over and over again, don't drink your calories. And that means unless it's a protein drink and you're a bodybuilder or you're working out or something, that ultimately your nutrients and things like that should be coming from the solid food that you're consuming. The thing with Diet Coke, there's a running joke. I post the memes all the time about give me those four cheeseburgers and large fries and a Diet Coke.
I used to do that, but it had nothing to do with calories.
It has to do with the taste.
It has to do with the taste.
Once
I find sugar too cloying.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I want to point out we're videoing this live. We're streaming this right now on Instagram, which we normally do on Friday. And you already, Wayne, you already got my flautas, right?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
No, there we go.
Oh, don't do what you just, that doesn't help anybody. That was weird.
That was weird.
Gosh,
all right, so much for that.
All right, something.
Vegan Impossible Nuggets from Burger King. Why would you ever do that?
Because people want plant-based options.
Why?
Because they're not made with the meats.
That's my point.
These are people that will never darken the doorway of an Arby's.
And I love Arby's.
That's good. One day, Arby's is going to fold in on itself from all this pressure. You know, it's going to be 2525, the year 2525, and they're like, Arby's, we ain't got the meats.
I know. I just did a story on mission statements.
Oh, and how it's the only true one?
Yes, yes.
It's the only corporate mission statement that you could say, yeah, they believe that.
Yeah, they do. We got the meats.
This is big, and more and more you're going to see this. And I will tell you that the chicken nuggets are actually pretty good.
They are. McDonald's has some of the worst chicken nuggets out there because they're extruded.
You can... Let's not get into extruded versus pressed again, ever. I will say this, that you're going to see more and more of these things, and it seems like it's coming from everywhere. But really, veganism is pretty small still. We live, this is the problem with the coasts. The coasts think they're everything in America. You go to New York, you go here to California, and it's like, wait, what? We are, you know, everything in the country, and we're really not. And the issue that's always, always going to linger is the fact that any meat analog is hyper, uber processed. And you can't demonize processed food and then say, yeah, but it's not so bad when it's not made with animals.
But let me ask you, you have, real chicken nuggets or like chicken tenderloins,
yeah,
kind of thing. That's just real chicken that's breaded.
Yeah, it's
and
the
fried.
Undercut of a breast,
yeah,
is the tenderloin.
And, you know, we buy those all the time, frozen, of course, from Costco. But those are real. That's real,
yeah,
chicken.
That's
that
a piece of chicken.
Right. Has not been ground up. As far as veganism is concerned, I've always wondered about that. First of all, how can a straight man be a vegan? That's for starters. I've never quite understood that.
Well, I don't know that there's a genetic tie to someone's sexual orientation.
Is there a predisposition?
When I met an animal rights activist or a vegan that was male, I'd say, come on.
Yeah.
What was her name? The one that turned you.
Yeah.
Same thing with Christianity.
Now, in reality,
I don't know that I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for a really, really pretty girl.
Okay.
It happens.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. One of the things we talked about, and this is legitimate. This is not me being Bill the Ass, which is also...
separate it?
I know,
is
which is also very legitimate.
I'd like to find it.
But I think the future is definitely going to be plant-based, quote, meats. And you're going to see, for example, steak restaurants or meat being a specialty product. Where it's not going to be part and parcel.
There's
going
talk
to the
about that, and that it's going to be a higher, more exclusive experience.
Yeah.
However, what people never think about, whether it's oil, whether it's meat, whether it's any of these things, are the byproducts. They look at just that single product, like gas for a car or meat, and they forget that there is a crap ton of byproducts on these things that would go away or become super duper expensive that no one ever talks about and puts into the equation of how it would affect the planet. I mean, genuinely, you could end up seeing unintended consequences that could be worse. We need to find better ways to do it, cleaner ways
to
do it. Not this massive farming, business where they're shooting them up with garbage just to keep them alive, putting them in crappy.
Well, that's
needs to go. The farming is garbage.
But
in
you,
a lot.
But
these
you
smaller farms are
right,
doing
understood.
Much better.
And you've got the price of meat and steaks, et cetera, if you're talking about open range cows. I like the idea of cows being next to chickens in their cages. That really saves money.
On your steak and eggs?
Yeah. That's very good. I hadn't thought of that. But it's
friends from the beginning.
I know, but the cost of meat production and the waste and the cost of the environment, the cost in dollars, the cost in water is astronomical.
Yeah, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say, and you find a better way of farming and a cleaner way to do these things or limit them. But the byproducts people don't think about, from gelatin, from all kinds of things
that we get.
It's weird to even watch the oil spill, for one.
You know, leather.
That it's being cleaned up with plastic products that are made from oil.
Now, real leather furniture, if it goes that way, is going to disappear. But the fake leather, in many cases, is twice as good.
That's the thing. But it might be more expensive or cause more.
Okay.
That's what people don't put into
understood.
The equation. It's
okay.
The emotional side of it.
All right, we're going to take a break. And what Neil does is give me lists of what he wants to cover.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you
Your
do.
Producer
oh,
gives
well,
it to me.
Okay.
I pick from there, and we keep it all secret from you because we don't trust you.
Yeah, that's a given. There is one suggestion, and I'm totally intrigued by it, and that is, and I'm going to quote now, "Pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon wine?" But isn't it made out of wine?
Grey Poupon?
Yeah. Doesn't it have wine in it already?
Grey Poupon might have some red wine, or red or white wine.
Okay, we'll take a break and come back and talk Grey Poupon, because I love it. And new boxed wine. There's nothing as elegant and exotic and for a really a good wine connoisseur as a boxed wine. We'll be back. KFI. Wayne is still Instagramming, and we're streaming the Flautist.
Espoir est un plat bien trop vite consommé.
That's good, Jake. I'll get that. Sometimes the bumper music or the intros just hit. So, welcome back on a Friday, October 8th. Bill Handel and the Morning Crew. Last segment of the Foodie Friday segment with the Fork reporter, Neil Saavedra. Neil heard tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. on the Fork Report.
Indeed.
Indeed. Grey Poupon wine. Let's share that story.
Didn't we have a host that used to like to poop on, that used to like Grey Poupon?
That's funny. That's funny.
Grey Poupon.
That's funny.
Forgive me. The thing that makes Grey Poupon interesting, and the flavor base, we were talking about this a little bit in the break, that the difference with this Dijon mustard is they're not using a vinegar, they're using a white wine. That's what was not in my brain. Using the white wine. So wine and Grey Poupon do have a marriage, but what they want to do is they want to take the mustard seeds and use them to enhance or to change the flavor in a wine and utilize that. And my understanding is they're even going to have that in there, those little mustard seeds in there, and make it, like a fortified wine or something. Now, fortified wines are popular, and they're used in cocktail making and things like that. So I'm curious as to what would come out of this it would be used.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing your take on it. I'm not a wine drinker, so I don't care.
I know.
Although I am a mustard eater, I love mustards because there are so many different mustards. First of all, Grey Poupon Dijon mustard. That come from Dijon, France? Is that where it was developed?
I don't know.
Or
actually,
it's just that's the
I
name
really
they
don't.
Took?
You'd assume. But
like beef Wellington didn't come from Wellington.
No, but it did come from beef.
It did come from beef, yes.
Yeah. Boof Wellington.
Yeah, I think it was the Battle of Wellington. Maybe it came out of that.
They fought each other, and then they said, hey, let's wrap this.
Yes, that's true.
But these types of things, more and more, they're not just novelties. Some of them are. But they're ways to experiment or to take a brand or a flavor beyond. So you can find it at greypouponwine.com, and they go on sale today, I think. And while supplies last, $30 price tag.
One of the things that I've often wondered, and whenever we do a segment, obviously I come in and I'm thinking about food, which I love, which is why I ate my flautas from Costco this morning in the middle of the segment, is how many new things or new food items are there out there? Because you look at the staples, right, and they've been there for thousands of years. And I'm thinking just weird inventions, you know, creations, spam. Spam. It's just weird. Someone came up with it.
Spam, again, we were talking a little bit about things that come by way of another product. And it's always you're either looking for ways to use the stuff you're not using, you know, because the theory is if you're going to use the animal, use the whole animal.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they, you know, spam comes from pieces and parts that wouldn't have been used otherwise.
Which it does.
Right. So there's that, but there are food novelty shows or novelty food shows. You know, they've been kind of muted throughout the pandemic, but there's big food shows, candy shows that just talk about new novelty or frozen foods or things like that. We should go sometime because
they're here in Los Angeles or they're usually in Las Vegas.
San Francisco, and I think New York is where they have the food stuff.
I went to one food show and I loved it. I loved it. And it was, I don't remember what kind. It was maybe Italian products or whatever.
There's a pizza show in Vegas.
Yeah, it's just, now, it's only for the trades. It's not for the general public.
No, but sometimes you can get, there's ways to get in there, sure.
And you have to go hungry because you halfway through it, you are.
It's the world's biggest Costco.
It is.
Sampling.
And it's
but
just.
But some of the things are pretty interesting. And sometimes they come up with, you know, something that came out of it. What's the Mr. Brazil? What's the cheese bread?
Oh, but they've been pão de queijo.
Yeah,
but okay. But that's been around forever.
I know, but it had never been in a frozen form or a bakeable form for the home. Things like that. That's been around forever, but someone said, "Hey, I have a way to make it in which you can bake it off fresh in your house."
Okay,
and they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, when you go to a Brazilian barbecue place, a churrascaria, that's first of all, you start with a buffet. Before they give you the meat, because they want you to fill up on the salads and all of that, and then they throw the meat at you because it's so expensive. And a traditional Brazilian dish are these little cheese bread balls, and
they're delicious.
Oh, they're great!
They're unstoppable.
That's the problem, and that's the point.
Yeah, you just fill up on these cheese balls.
Yes.
But things like that came out of these types of shows and just different ways to consume that stuff.
All right, we're done. Friday, tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. with the Fork Report. I'm on from 8 to 11 with Handle on the Law. And now time for the shameless plug. If you need a lawyer, you've been injured in a car accident, you go to handleonthelaw.com. That's the website where you find the lawyers, handleonthelaw.com. Neil, always a pleasure. I do listen to your show fairly religiously. And tomorrow from 2
to... No pun intended, but thank you.
Yeah, that's actually funny. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Tomorrow, 2 to 5. In the meantime, Gary and Shannon up right about now. Handle in the Morning Crew. I think Layla was her last day here. And then next week it's Chris Little filling in and doing all the Jennifer Jones Lee stuff. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.